My message this morning will be far more teaching than preaching. I'm going to speak on a two-part series on We Are a Charismatic Church and what does that mean for us. We are a distinctly a charismatic church, which means we hunger for all of God's presence and His power to fulfill His purpose. Acts chapter 1, y'all know this scripture very, very well, starting with verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me. For John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Now skip on down to verse 8. But you shall receive what? Yeah, y'all got to talk back to me. It's a smaller, everybody's out on vacation, so you got to be like extra loud today. But you shall receive what? You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We understand Acts chapter 1 was a prophetic word that was fulfilled in Acts chapter 2. We, as charismatic Pentecostals, use this verse to define who we are as a church, and I'd like to talk about that. I grew up as a cessationist. Cessationalism believes that the gifts died out. When the apostles died, all the gifts of the Spirit died out with it. So, you know, there was pastors and there was teachers, but there was any of the gifts in operation. You know, there was those things going on. There were no healings. There was no miracles. There were no prophecies. Only the written word. There were no prophets, no apostles, and especially none of that tongue stuff. That's just crazy stuff, you know. That's just stuff of the devil. We did have the Trinity, but we spoke it like He is Father, He is Son, and He's Holy Spirit. We don't really like to talk about Him. Things might get a little crazy if we talk about Him, so we just kind of keep that to ourselves. But can we be honest? As charismatic Pentecostals, I think what scares everybody is tongues. Can I just be straightforward and say tongues is just a little bit strange? Can I? Amen. Typically, things that are supernatural are oftentimes just a little bit strange. Mm-hmm. Things that are beyond the normal are a little bit weird to the human brain. I think the real question that we need to ask, is it biblical and is it for us today? That's the real question. Look with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verses 14. Now, the day of Pentecost has happened. The disciples were up in the upper room praying. The Holy Spirit came. They began to speak in tongues. Verse 13, all the people that heard them speak in tongues said, "These people are crazy. It's only 9 a.m. in the morning and they're all drunk." That's what they said about them. Don't believe me? Let me read it to you in 13. "And mockingly they said, 'They are full of new wine.' But Peter, standing up with the 11, get this, this is Peter. This is the guy that just 50 days earlier denied Jesus 3 times. Not only denied Jesus, but cursed Jesus. Now he just is filled with the Holy Spirit. He stands up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, 'Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed these words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the 3rd hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven and signs on the earth beneath. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and notable day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The New Testament church was a spirit-filled church that was unashamed to speak to the people about the power of God. What the Lord did on the day of Pentecost, it was spiritual, it was unnatural, it was a powerful phenomenon. We like to explain things in the natural. How many stories have I heard to explain how the Red Sea parted? There was a drought going on in the land, so the river had dried up. There must have been an earthquake, and the earthquake. Why can't we just believe that a supernatural God parted the Red Sea? We like to explain things in the natural. Pray and hope that God hears us. Pray then. You know, hope that, you know, there's somebody out there listening to us, but forbid that we ever say that God speaks back to us. Vice President Pence mentioned about a year ago that he heard the voice of God, and he was ridiculed through all the media. He was on The View, and they made fun of him because he could actually hear from God. Spiritual gifts, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, let's just not talk about that. That's just a little bit weird. 1 Corinthians 12 lists the gifts of the Spirit. Interestingly, 1 Corinthians 13 says, it's called the love chapter. We read it at weddings, but it's really talking about spiritual gifts. And it says, if we don't understand that the gifts of the Spirit have to operate based upon the love of God, if we don't get that, we've messed it up totally. It becomes worthless. The Bible actually says it becomes a clanging cymbal. Because it must be done in love. 1 Corinthians 14, right after that, gives the guidance for the operation of the gifts. And let me just read to you, first chapter 14, 1. This is what it says, pursue love and desire. Everybody say desire. Desire spiritual gifts, and especially that you might prophesy. I've heard so many people tell me over the years, well, if the Holy Spirit wants me to have it, He'll just give it to me. That's not what my Bible says. My Bible says if you are born again, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, then you are to desire the things of God. You are the hunger and thirst for the things of the Spirit. We are unashamed to say that we are a charismatic church. If we don't believe in the power, it's almost as if God has abandoned us and left the enemy with more power than we have. We believe in His power. Acts chapter 1:8 says, but you shall receive power. There was power available for us today to overcome, power to heal, power to win the lost, power to prophesy, power to overcome the enemy. I just want to tell you several stories over the years that's happened in my presence are people that I know very, very well. This didn't happen when I was pastoring. I was pastoring a church in Ohio. I just stepped down to go plant a church in Dallas. And about a month after I left, there was an elderly man in the church. He was sitting on about the third row, they tell me. He got tired standing up, so he sat down. There was a pew in front of him. He put his head on the pew. Everybody thought he was just praying. Well, he wasn't praying. He died. They went through all worship thinking, this dude's just, man, he's just really engaged with God right now. They get done, everybody sits down and greets, they leave him alone because he's engaged with God. Nothing's happening. Well, we're so glad that fellow, man, he's really praying today. All of a sudden, a relative looks over and he is gray as can be. They said, church is over. Please go into the foyer because we have to deal with him. They called the ambulance. They laid hands on him. I don't remember what song they sang, but the leaders around him began to sing, and they saw life come back into this dead man's body. Now, we know that doesn't happen all the time because we know that everybody dies. This man lived 5 more years, a great life, but God rose him from the dead. I was at Bible college with Dutch Sheets. Anybody ever read a book by Dutch Sheets? Great prophetic man of our day. And he was in class. The class was about 500 students, and he said, folks, I just sense the Lord wants us to go in a different direction. Can we begin to pray? All of a sudden, Dutch Sheets began to pray in tongues. And he said, hey, this is a public tongue. So the Bible says there needs to be an interpretation. Let's wait for the interpretation. We waited 30 minutes and nobody spoke it out. He apologized. He said, folks, I'm your teacher in here. Either I was incorrect and I stepped out of bounds, or one of you had the interpretation and you refused to give it. But he dismissed class. This was on a Tuesday. Class came back together on a Thursday. This lady came forward and she said, me and my husband are missionaries to Japan. And she said, I am so scared to death to be in front of people. I am so intimidated to be in front of people. That's why I didn't come forward last Tuesday. But I was so bothered by it for 2 days. She said, when you spoke in tongues, she said, I heard you speak fluent Japanese. And this is what you said. Why did I believe God used it at that time? Because 500 students in the room took notice what just happened. I'm telling you the story today, so that was an impact that happened nearly 30 years ago. Now, hear me when I say this. I heard him speak in tongues. He didn't speak no Japanese. But the miracle was it was just translated into her ear. She heard fluent Japanese. That's what I believe happened at the day of Pentecost. I believe those disciples began to pray in an angelic language that no, it wasn't a common language. Or the miracle was when it was translated into the languages around the world, it was a holy day. So there was people of the known world of multiple different languages there. And when they heard it, they heard God speak in their own language. We believe in the power of God. I was praying for a lady. This was probably about 20 years ago. It was in a small apartment on the kitchen, and I was praying for this lady. I'd never met her in all my life, and I just said, I believe the Lord wants me to pray for somebody named Nate. Does that mean anything to you? And she just begins to burst in tears, and she said, Nathaniel is my husband. I didn't know that, but by the Spirit of God. There is power in what we believe in. I have a friend that helped us plant Life Church. He was praying about coming. His name's Mike. He was up in Ohio at the time. On one Sunday, three separate people walked up to him and gave him a prophetic word. He was scared to death at fly. One of the persons walked up to him and says, the Lord told me to tell you it's time to get wings. It's time to fly. And he had told me the day before, he said, if I'm supposed to come here, I'm going to fly on an airplane first, and I'm scared to death to do it. The Lord needs to tell me to do it. They walked up to him the very next day. He opens up the Bible, and he reads a verse out of the Old Testament, something that you shouldn't do. I'm not encouraging you to do this. Just open up the Bible and put your finger and read it, and it's a voice from God. No, don't try that. But he opened his Bible. Actually, I opened the Bible. I was on the phone with him. And the scripture was, Michael has come to help you. His name was Michael. I got on the phone. Robin was talking to his wife. And I said, hey, Mike, this is the scripture I just read. That was kind of crazy. Another person walks up to him and says, listen, he actually told the person, he said, hey, would you pray for me? Because I'm praying for something big. And the person laughed and said, like what? You're supposed to move to Texas? He said, how did you even know that? When I was pastoring Life Church, Robin knew that I was about to resign, obviously, that we were about to move to Belize. Nobody else in the church knew. I walked into the sanctuary of a woman that did not attend our church, but she would spend hours in the sanctuary praying and interceding for the Katy community. I walk into the sanctuary, not really even meaning to talk to her. I probably went to get something, and she looks at me, and she said, you're leaving Life Church, aren't you? I'm like, shh, how did you know that? She said, the Spirit of God just told me that. Crazy stuff. You know, the biggest, the most powerful way people are coming to Jesus in Iran is? Literally, they're having a vision of Jesus. Some of them are in the midst of a mosque and Jesus shows up. I read an article that said Christianity is growing by 5% in Iran. Because God is showing up. Me and my girls, I've told you this story before. Now I can't think of her name. What's the little Mayan girl's name? Love her to death. Come on. What's your name? Huh? Odelia. Yes. Odelia is this catchy Mayan girl. I love her because I'm like a giant to her. And she's like 20 years old. Her dad's this size. I baptized him. I felt like such a manly man around him. And so he was great. And so anyway, Odelia, she was supposed to be at youth group. And they called me after youth group and said, Odelia's sick. Would you come and pray for her? And I said, you know, I'll come and pray for her tomorrow. And they said, she's almost dead. Would you come? And I said, call an ambulance. And they said, ambulances won't go back in the bush. This girl lived way back in the bush, dirt floor, thatched home, sleeping in hammocks. I mean, the real deal. And I said, well, get a taxi. And they said, a taxi won't come back here. They didn't even have enough money to buy a taxi anyway. And I said, okay, as soon as I drop all the kids off, me and the girls will go back there. So we go back there. We're walking through the bush. I'm just thinking any minute somebody's going to come out with a knife and I'm going to get mugged because it is pitch darkness. I mean, pitch darkness. I come back to this house. The Ketchy's families are around her. They said she hasn't spoken in 3 hours. All she's doing is moaning. She's running a fever. She probably has dengue fever, which is similar to malaria. And I said, well, let's pray, and then we'll take her to the hospital. I laid hands on her, and this is the cool thing about Ketchy Mayans. When Ketchy's pray, when the pastor stops praying, they continue to pray for like 15 minutes. I mean, they just don't listen to me pray. I mean, they are going after it in this dirt floor room. And we're praying for Odelia. And God supernaturally heals her. And I said, Odelia, you've been really sick. We need to go to the hospital. And she looked at me and she goes, I don't want to go. And she goes, if I'm sick tomorrow, I'll go. I heard the next day that she got up and made breakfast with her mom. God supernaturally touched her and healed her. I have one last story. This is probably 18 years ago. Robin's dad had been pastoring some Assembly of God churches in East Texas. They were visiting with us. They weren't even a part of us at this time. And he just felt led of the Lord to pray over a first-time visitor. Yeah, that's always scary, you know. Oh, no, don't scare them off, you know. And went over to her and said, hey, I just feel I'm supposed to pray for you. Even scarier than that, we didn't know this at this time, but he felt he was supposed to pray in the spirit over her. Now, that'll freak anybody out, right? And so he begins to pray over her, and he just thinks he's prayed over her. It was sweet. It was nice. And he goes on. She goes up to Robin bawling. And she knows Robin from elementary school. I mean, not Robin went to elementary school. Our kids went to elementary school. And she went to Robin bawling, and she said, who is that man over there? And Robin was like, that's my dad. What did he do? What did he do wrong, you know? Did he do? And she said, he began to pray over me. And he began to speak fluent Spanish. Now, I know her father pretty well. He don't speak no Spanish. And this woman's grandmother used to call her Chiquita, I think it is, little girl. Somebody help me, Chiquita. And used to call her my little Chiquita. And she said, when he was praying for me, he was saying, my little Chiquita, it's time to come home to me. In fluent Spanish. She had at once had a relationship with God, drifted away. And at that very moment, she sensed the presence of God. Robin said, that's my dad. He don't speak no Spanish, I promise you. So whatever he said was the spirit of a God. That woman gave her heart back to Jesus that day. Amen. I tell you all of these stories to tell you that we serve a supernatural God in 2019. You don't have to tell stories like, boy, I wish I lived when Jesus lived, where the real power took place. You can celebrate that in 2019, God still moves today. I do not believe in deistic God, that God is way up there somewhere. And God, if you hear me, please answer my prayer. I believe that I can have a communion with Almighty God. I believe there is power available for us today. We are a charismatic church. The word charismatic comes from the root word. It comes from a Greek word that literally means spirituals. Charismata is the plural form, spiritual gifts. Who are charismatics? Charismatics are Baptist, Methodist, Episcopals, Vineyard, Foursquare. That's who we are. Independent church. Anybody that espouses the gifts of the Spirit is operational in today's world is essentially a charismatic church, whether they use that term or not. In fact, get this. There was a guy. He was an Anglican pastor in California. He's having a thirst for God. He gets what he later describes to his congregation as glossolalia, which is the gift of tongues. He stands up before his Anglican, very conservative body, and he said, "Folks, what's happened to me last week, I'd received glossolalia. I have begun to speak in tongues." He quickly was fired from that church. But Time Magazine got a hold of his story and ran the story in Time Magazine, and so many people wanted to hear what had happened to him. It was the birthing that God used to birth forth the charismatic movement as what we know it today. It began in the 1950s, and it's spread to around the world. Today, charismatic believers are the fastest growing segment of Christianity around the world. I read an article that by 2050, there will be more charismatic Pentecostals than there are Catholics. But did you also know that there was a charismatic Catholic congregation, especially huge in Brazil, seeking the power of God? Foursquare churches, we are 8 million worldwide. There is it right there. If, in case y'all don't know it, Foursquare stands for Jesus is our Savior first and foremost. Jesus is our baptizer in the Holy Spirit. He still has power today. Jesus is our healer, and Jesus is our soon coming King. About 25% of the world's Christians are Pentecostal and Charismatics. Among believers who would consider themselves born again or evangelicals, 51% of them call themselves Charismatics. Now, what's the difference between Charismatics and Pentecostals? Pentecostals tend to be defined by denominations that were started believing in the gifts of the Spirit. And so the Assemblies of God, the Church of God, Redeemed Church of God, Foursquare, Open Bible Churches, these would all be termed as Pentecostal organizations. Foursquare, kind of, I would term us a Pentecostal charismatic organization because we kind of got swallowed up by the Jesus movement in the 70s, and so we kind of identify with both circles. Pentecostals call themselves because on the day of Pentecost in the New Testament is when the Holy Spirit was poured out. The word Pentecost is a holy day. The word Pente means 50. It was 50 days after the Passover. They were celebrating Pentecost. The Holy Spirit poured out. So Pentecost of today call themselves Pentecostals because the Holy Spirit was poured out on that day biblically. Now, 50 days after Passover. Why is Passover a very Jewish holiday important to us? Because what we do as communion started when Jesus was celebrating Passover with his disciples. The Passover, realized 2,000 years earlier than Jesus, is when God delivered the Hebrew people out of Egypt with the Passover, that the death angel passed through Egypt. That was the 10th of the plagues. You know the story. So they've celebrated that for 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years, Jesus is sitting with his disciples celebrating Passover, and he stands up with a cup, and he said, "Today I give this new meaning. This represents my blood that will be poured out for you. This bread represents my body that will be broken for you." Jesus dies. He rose from the dead. 50 days later, the disciples are praying. The Holy Spirit is poured out with power. That's why we call them Pentecostals today. Pentecostals and Charismatics essentially believe the same thing, especially when it comes to salvation. We absolutely 100%, every denomination has their own areas that we would disagree on, minor areas, not big areas. The only exception would be the United Pentecostal Church. They do not believe in the Trinity. They are what's called Jesus oneness. They also believe that you have to speak in tongues in order to be saved. We clearly do not believe that. We don't believe that as in Scripture. We truly believe in the Trinity of who God is. That would be the only exception of a Pentecostal movement that we would disagree with. Charismatics tend to have more freedom in their worship than what you would think of in a Pentecostal expression. That said, the church Robin and I were married in is a very historical Pentecostal church and would have very vibrant praise and worship and more of a charismatic understanding of praise and worship than today. So it's really kind of interchangeable. A Harvard theologian said this about the Pentecostal charismatic church. He said it's reshaping the church of the 21st century. Our walk with God doesn't have to be boring. It definitely doesn't have to be religious. God wants to move in us. What I mean by religion is trying to follow an order or rules. God definitely wants a relationship with his kids. He wants that relationship. Let me also say this, that just because we are Pentecostals doesn't make us perfect. The charismatic church has seen lots of abuses along the way. Why do I think a lot of people are afraid of the charismatic churches? Because they've seen the people on the TVs begging for their $52 million jet. The charismatic church has been notorious of abusing God's miraculous gifts for our own selfish gain. And that has scared people away. God has given us power not for a circus show, but to demonstrate his power to his people, to equip people to go and reach people. We are a charismatic church. Our Go 101, if you've been through it, we'll talk about the gifts of the Spirit. Our advance that we'll do in August that we hope you attend will absolutely have a teaching time on the gifts of the Spirit. I want to get to my next part real quick. We don't want to fabricate the gifts. Any of you that's been in circles of charismatic Pentecostals for any time, you've probably seen the fake stuff. When I was first out of Bible college, the pastor would line everybody up, and he would pray for everybody, and you know they'd always fall. Now, I'm not here to say that you can't fall if the Holy Spirit just, you know, it can happen. But I remember seeing this little 9-year-old kid. And, you know, it's religiously what he was expected to do. So that's what he did. We've seen enough fake stuff out there. We don't have to fake anything. We just seek his presence and let God move. Someone doesn't get healed. We don't always know why. But we continue to believe that God is a God that heals because we've seen it happen in our midst. People say, do you believe in tongues? Or does your church believe in tongues? What they're really saying is, your church is just a little bit crazy for me. I don't want to go there. I think the real question, is it biblical? Is it for today? And if it is biblical, then we should seek after it. I was a good Baptist boy. And I began being mentored by a charismatic believer, and I began to study the word for myself and began to say, God, I believe it's of you. And if you want me to have it, I'm open to it, which was a silly question because I believe God wanted me to have it. Is it biblical? The answer is yes. To be honest, hearing from an almighty God is just a little bit crazy. Yet it's true. Receiving a prophecy, a word of knowledge is a little bit crazy, but it's true. Speaking in tongues, either privately or publicly with an interpretation, is truly a little bit crazy, but it's true. To connect and interact with a supernatural God is a little bit crazy, but it's true. There's a picture of a hammer, I think, up there, about to be up there. Now, that's a pretty hammer, right? Obviously, it's never been used. If somebody gave me that hammer and I made a beautiful frame and I put it on my living room, Robin allowed me, she said, that would be the best decorations in our entire living room. That would just look so sweet in my living room. And I put it in there, and then I'm working on something in the back. I use a stick to nail my nails in. I use a rock to nail my nails in. At times, I use my hand to nail my nails in. And it all works really badly. But I managed to get it in there. Why don't I just take down the hammer? The hammer represents the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The hammer represents the power and presence of God in 2019. We often, as Christians, we use all our worldly means to try to touch people's hearts. Like the hammer, we use our hand, we use sticks, we use rocks, we use whatever it takes if we would just seek His presence and desire that He operates in His power, God would do supernatural things. We want to be a church that always is a church of order. I don't believe in chaos. I believe there is a place, and I've been in Pentecostal circles where it's just chaotic and it's unhealthy. We will always be a church of order, whether that's in small group or whether that's in Sunday morning celebration. But we must be a church that hungers and thirsts for His presence, that awaits for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation within our midst. That is healthy for us. That is who we are. That is what we see as biblical in the Word of God. And we will thirst for those things. That little girl in the village named Odelia, I want to see that right here. I want to see people hear the voice of God. I want to see the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. I want to see the prophetic words be used in such a way where the person that it is spoken to leaves and know that they've heard from Almighty God. We can see the growth of the charismatic church around the world and see that God is a God of power. People get saved, restored, healed, discipled, and sent out to reach others. How many of y'all know, as prosperous as Katy, Texas is, it still needs the presence of God? Every region has its own demons. The issues that I dealt with when I lived in Belize were very different than the issues that I deal with in Katy, Texas. But it doesn't reduce the fact that we need who God is. Our wealth and our pursuit of all the other stuff in life distracts us from who God is. It still doesn't negate the fact that we need God in our lives. Over the next Sunday, I'm going to preach on the second part of this. It will also be more of a teaching of where we got to where we are as a Pentecostal charismatic movement. I'll talk to you about the journey, the Agnes Osmonds, the Charles Parhams, and the William Seymours. And if that means nothing to you, that will mean something to you next week, because I want to walk you through who we are, who we desire to be, what our pursuit is as a church. Would you stand with me? We are unashamed to believe the entire Bible is for today. We are unashamed to believe that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same God that healed the sick and caused apostles to speak in new tongues. The same God that raised people from the dead and spoke to hearts of believers, that empowered every believer, the minister, is the same God for us today. Like the hammer, we could do it without Him, but it's a whole lot more effective with Him. The charismatic Christianity, the gifts of the Spirit, they're for today. They're needed today. We should use them today. Would our leaders begin to make their way up? Now, earlier, many of you came forward. We didn't pray for you. And man, if there is a need in your life, and maybe even the Lord did a lot in the midst of worship, but you just would like to join with somebody and pray for somebody, you have that freedom to come. If you are here in this room and your relationship with Jesus isn't where it should be, man, we want to pray with you. If you are here and you've never made a decision for Jesus Christ, man, we would like to introduce him to you. If you need a breakthrough in an area of your life, whether that's your health, whether that's relational issues, we want to pray with you. If you've been afraid of the gifts of the Spirit and today you said, God, I want all of you, no matter what that means, boy, I'd love for somebody to pray with you. So as the music plays, would you come? Would you come? Hallelujah, God. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you need to come, would you come? We'll just stay a few minutes. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you need to come, just come. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you need to come, come. I don't know about y'all, but I need it today. I need it today. Can I say this? Just because we are charismatic believers doesn't make us better than anyone else in the body of Christ. We should never walk around with an arrogance. We love the body of Christ. We love our fellow believers in other denominations. We don't pride ourselves above them. We seek the face of God. We go out and touch our world. The charismatic church has been notorious to feel superior over everybody else. That's not us. We are lovers of people, first and foremost. Lovers of God, first and foremost. Lovers of people. We want to go deeper as a church than we've ever gone before. Father God, as we close out of here, God, Father, we want to go deeper in your presence. We want to hear your voice clear. We want to understand your desire for us. We want your love to spread everywhere we go. We want people to stop us on the street and see something different in us before we ever open our mouths, because they see you all over us. We want to be lovers of people. We want to love people everywhere we go, God. Father, teach us to be a people that operates in your gifts, that's unashamed to believe the whole book, to believe that you are God that still operates in your power today. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God that we read about in the New Testament is the God that we worship today. We praise you for that, God. Cause us to be a people of power, a people of your presence. Use your gifts to edify the body of Christ, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for being here. God bless you. I hope you were enriched and encouraged, because I was. Have a great day.